Church's devotional podcast, devoted to bringing you some spiritual truth to consider every day, Monday through Friday. Thank you for joining us. Our passage for today is going to come from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, which say this: "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart.' Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." A friend of mine was recently recounting a spiritual conversation they were having with someone. And this person was smirking and kind of looking down on my friends, how they would view it, you know, childish, simple, biblical Christianity, not enlightened, not progressive, hasn't learned, hasn't moved beyond their childhood faith. And that smirk and that kind of looking down and nodding knowingly, like you might treat a child who has not fully understood the ways of this world, that hasn't learned and moved beyond these simple ideas, but it wasn't worth explaining. And I'm getting annoyed for my friend, when in reality, the Word of God prepares us for exactly this situation. I used to watch a whole bunch of debates on religion between atheists and Christians about the reasonableness of faith. Is there proof for God? Is there evidence for God? Is there good reason to believe? Or is Christianity or theism in general just foolishness, just fairy tales, just something we tell ourselves to make ourselves feel better? Because I wanted to have answers to those questions. One of my very favorite pastors is someone who kind of made a hallmark of his ministry being ready to answer the questions that the world would throw at Christianity. And can it stand up to the scrutiny? Can it stand up to the heat of, you know, robust scientific inquiry? Or would it fold, like so many atheists like to claim, like a house of cards? The reality is that there are good reasons for believing in Christianity. While we can never prove God by merely scientific means, there is good evidence to believe in God, but evidence alone will not lead us to Jesus. We need faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, our Bibles tell us. But I, in examining my own heart, had an ulterior motive to some of my consumption of all these apologetics and defense of the faith content that I was taking in. I did not want to be seen as foolish. I did not want to be seen as childish. I wanted to be seen as someone who knew what he was talking about and had answers and wasn't just accepting at face value my parents' faith, but I had, you know, robust intellectual reasons for believing in Christianity. I liked this idea of being able to answer questions and be prepared for that. But the reality is that I was worried about what people think about me. And the Word of God prepares us for this, like in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The reality is, to those who are perishing, the wisdom of God is going to look like foolishness. It's going to look silly. It's going to look like myths. It's going to look like a crutch. It's going to look like something we tell ourselves to make ourselves feel better. And they are the enlightened ones, and we are the simple ones who don't know any better. And we might just have to be okay with that. Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles. Are we okay to look foolish to the world around us? Are we okay to look like the ones who are wrong, trusting that God's word says at the end of the age, we will be shown to be the ones who have found the truth? Not because we're smarter, not because we're better, but because we have found the one who is the savior of our souls, the power of God to those who are being saved. Can we rest in that? Though the whole world might tell us that the sky is purple, we know that the sky is blue. And we know that our Heavenly Father is pleased with our acknowledging the truth. So trust in the Word of God. Hitch yourself to the wagon of God's way of life. And know that the world may look on and think that we are foolish, but trusting that God's way is the better way, whatever man might say or think. While, as 1 Peter tells us, always being ready to give a reason for the hope that we have, an answer to those who would come to us and say, "Why do you believe what you believe?" Yet do it with gentleness and respect, not being angry at our reputations being attacked, but responding in love to those who need the hope and the answer that we have in Christ Jesus. Lord, thank you for the Word of God that prepares us for the situations that we are going to face in this life. We may have all of the intellectual and scientific and philosophical answers for why it's reasonable to believe in Christianity, but to someone who doesn't want to hear the truth, it will sound like foolishness, and we must be okay with that. You were ridiculed. You were mocked. You experienced much suffering for standing up to the truth, and you tell us that we can expect the same if we are really going to follow you. So give us the courage to do that for your glory and our good, and as your kingdom comes here on earth as it is in heaven. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Thank you for tuning into another edition of Let's Talk. Church family, you are loved. Have a blessed day.